This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
You know, it's seen as a softer drug. In some cases, it's seen not even as a drug in certain areas, particularly in the UK. There's worrying trends in that direction.
Cannabis use is increasingly normalized. Long seen as a soft drug, it doesn't set alarm bells ringing in the same way as Class A drugs, but high-strength cannabis can have a profound impact on long-term heavy users. That's something Head of Addiction Services at St. John of God's Hospital, Dr. Colin O'Gara, has encountered again and again.
Particularly with increased THC content cannabis, that it does induce psychosis, hallucinations and delusions, apathy, withdrawal, and removal from one's relationships and family.
In some instances, those delusional beliefs can lead to very real violence and tragedy. Irish Times journalist Fiacra Gallagher.
As a result of his cannabis use, Mr. Costa Silva had developed a psychotic disorder. This disorder caused Mr. Costa Silva to develop several delusional and paranoid beliefs. These beliefs essentially drove him to killing his wife.
This is in the news from the Irish Times. I'm Bernice Harrison. Today, cannabis-induced psychosis and the role it has played in violent crimes. Dr. O'Gara, can we unpack the term cannabis-induced psychosis? Because I feel each word is loaded with meaning, but not all cannabis is the same, but generally it's regarded as, I suppose, a soft drug or a low-risk drug. What do you think of that?
Well, I think 20 years ago it was. So after doing my medical school training in Cork, I went to London, particularly South London, to the Maudsley Hospital. And as part of my psychiatric training, very regularly I encountered young men being brought in the back of a police van after suffering what we now call cannabis-induced psychosis. At the time, there was a debate, certainly within the psychiatric community, as to whether cannabis caused psychosis or cannabis triggered psychosis in vulnerable individuals. I don't think that's a debate anymore. I think that is largely and widely accepted across the field. And, you know, maybe outside the psychiatric community, that is not the case. I mean, it will be argued. But for me, the increased strength in cannabis over the last decade, increased levels of THC, lower levels of CBD within the cannabis, that has had a huge impact. The increased use of cannabis has had a huge impact, in my view. And both of those issues have led to increases in presentations to our, I'm an addiction specialist, so to an addiction clinic with either addiction or the byproducts of increased use, which would be, in this case, psychosis.
And I appreciate this is a very sort of short question for a very big subject, but what is psychosis?
Simply put, psychosis is a condition where one loses touch with reality at its most severe sense. But again, I would look at psychosis on a spectrum. And at the early stages of psychosis, what we would encounter people who are increasingly suspicious or have what we call ideas of reference. So they may feel that people are talking about them, or there's messages coming from the radio that are specific to them. So they might feel that an ad is targeted directly at them, or that the news reader is speaking directly to them, all the way up to these phenomena that are held with delusional conviction. So the definition of a delusion is a fixed false belief which is held with unshakable conviction and is not amenable to persuasion to the contrary. So in the case of schizophrenia spectrum disorders, as they're called, you really have, it's a collection of psychiatric conditions from suspiciousness or one isolated idea, an encapsulated idea in the case of delusional disorder, all the way up to a global disorder of one's behavior, where there can be positive symptoms, so-called positive symptoms, which would be hallucinations and delusions, and negative symptoms, which would be apathy, withdrawal, and removal from one's relationships and family.
And induced in this context, what does that mean?
You know, again, to go back to the point, I think as THC has increased within cannabis, you know, there would have been a debate about whether cannabis induced psychosis, but I don't think there's, certainly within the psychiatric community, I think there's a general consensus at this stage that particularly with increased THC content cannabis, that it does induce psychosis. Now, again, this is like loading a gun in terms of the risk factors. Cannabis does not induce psychosis in everybody. It induces psychosis in certain individuals that maybe have had trauma, that have certain genetic predispositions in particular neural circuitry, be that in the dopamine system or other systems, a pre-existing mental health disorder, a family history of mental health difficulties. And basically, this is the literature would support a model where you have a additive effects of these issues. And if you introduce sufficiently high THC, which is now available in particular areas like South London, where I am trained as a psychiatrist, it induces psychosis.
And in your clinics here in Dublin, have you seen a rise in patients admitted with cannabis-induced psychosis?
So I treat people with cannabis use disorder, which is a persistence of cannabis use in the face of significant adverse consequences. And some of those consequences would be psychosis. Some of them would be other mental health difficulties, such as anxiety, depression, or development of other neurotic disorders like obsessive compulsive disorder. So in the course of my work as an addiction specialist, I've certainly seen an increase in cannabis-related difficulties, including psychosis. And that's not just related to cannabis, it would be cannabinoids as well, which would be synthetic cannabinoids, which are generally sprayed onto vegetable matter and then smoked, just like cannabis. An example of this would be spice, which is sold in a foil packet and is generally marketed under the term spice.
And would your patients have an understanding that their cannabis use is a problem, or would they consider cannabis to be benign and that there is something else going on with them?
Yeah, I mean, that's a brilliant question, because the increasingly what we're seeing is a normalization of cannabis use. So that's not only in Ireland, but also in the UK. You know, it's seen as a softer drug. In some cases, it's seen not even as a drug in certain areas, particularly in the UK. There's worrying trends in that direction. My own experience is that, you know, when people come to treatment, the people around them, this is for addiction generally, the people around them will have made it very clear to them that cannabis is a difficulty. But one of the features of addiction is a lack of insight into the actual, how profound the difficulty is. So people would present to us, I often ask, well, why are you here? And people will say, well, because I want to stop cannabis. But when you actually dig a little on that, it's actually they don't want to be there for themselves. They want to be there because the people around them have told them to be there. And they've learned a script and a dialogue around saying, yes, I have a problem, but they don't really believe that they do have a problem. So a lot of cannabis-induced psychosis and difficulties with psychosis around cannabis are intertwined with addiction. And again, addiction, we need to define what that means. We have harmful use, which would be smoking more than one would want to smoke. It's starting to creep into weekdays, starting to affect one's work and relationships, all the way up to multiple joints throughout the morning, afternoon, and evening, all day, every day. And an increasing tolerance developing, where one is starting to use increasing concentration of THC from skunk, which would be generally considered around 16%, up into the oils, which could be 30 or 40%, and even higher now reports all the way up to 90% and higher again. So there is an escalation in the intake of the cannabis, And again, this is loading the gun up in terms of basically tipping into psychosis. And the more that you escalate the THC, the more the difficulties that will eventually occur.
And is there a typical age or gender profile of people that you see?
Mainly men. We definitely see a younger profile, the 15, although we don't treat under 18s, but the data would suggest 15 to 34. There's a higher prevalence of use and difficulties. But really, in terms of the accessibility and normalization of cannabis, we really see any age.
And you talked there before about sustained and heavy use, but are casual users also at risk when it comes to triggering a psychotic episode?
100%, yeah. I mean, the problem that we have is that this is really in terms of genetics. If we put aside environmental issues such as trauma, loneliness, a lot of the reasons that people will smoke cannabis seeking connection and that, the key issue here is the genetic factors, which we know are very important in the genesis of cannabis difficulties. So the systems there, the dopamine system and another system called this the COMT system, polymorphisms in this system, we know that certain individuals, when they smoke cannabis, they are at a significantly higher risk of tipping into psychosis. The problem that we have is that we have no way of predicting that. So ultimately, if you buy cannabis, as you do in Ireland at the moment illegally, ideally you'd want a predictive genomics test from your dealer. So in other words, your dealer would say, here's your cannabis, but also, do you mind if I do a quick genetic test just to check as to whether you will tip into psychosis? The system really that we need is we need to be able to say which people have these particular gene predispositions to cannabis psychosis, and you should not go near cannabis in any circumstances because of that genetic code. The problem we have is that those tests are not available at the moment. My guess is that they will be available. These tests will be available, I don't know, 10, 20 years time, but that will, you know, psychiatry and predictive genomics is certainly the way it's going and will be hugely beneficial in terms of preventing psychosis.
You talk about people tipping into psychosis. Can you get out of it? Can you be treated? You know, is there hope?
These are very treatable conditions. In terms of acute, I mean, we have to make the differentiation here between acute a psychotic disorder and the development of schizophrenia. Again, an acute psychotic disorder, which is drug-induced, cannabis in this case, many of my patients who run into this difficulty run a short course, and thankfully they don't develop schizophrenia. There will be another group of people who are predisposed. They have the genetic predisposition to developing schizophrenia, but they need a number of environmental triggers to set that process off. And sadly, when some individuals develop that, they then develop a full-blown schizophrenia illness. And the course then can be uncertain. That can be long-term. In some cases, schizophrenia. Again, this is a spectrum of disorders, but for some individuals, that is a progressive disorder. There was a suggestion from the literature that people smoked cannabis to alleviate the symptoms of schizophrenia, but that is now thought not to be the case because there's no evidence that cannabis actually helps individuals who suffer from schizophrenia. So it only makes their course worse.
Dr. O'Gara, we've heard the expression cannabis-induced psychosis quite a bit over the last year, and it's usually in the context of court cases, criminal cases, where it has been used typically, I suppose, by the defence. But in your experience, does the disorder often result in violent episodes?
I mean, there is no sense whatsoever that cannabis leads to psychotic episodes where there is homicide or offending often. That is not the case. These are rare events. And cannabis, the prevalence of cannabis use is in its millions across the EU, for an example, and the rate of psychosis from cannabis is relatively rare. Consequently, the offending from cannabis is rare again.
Now, you mentioned regulation there earlier, and we're only just over a week since Germany legalized cannabis. I know in very restricted, there's a lot of parameters around it. But what did you make of that when you saw that Germany had legalized cannabis?
I believe that, and I have said this on many occasions in recent years, that criminalizing people who use drugs is not the correct approach. I think, particularly working as an addiction specialist, and I would say to any medical students looking to work in the area, you do have to be kind. You have to be genuinely interested in what you're doing with patients, and you have to be warm. There has to be warmth. And this transfers, I think, should transfer to our policy. I believe that people use drugs because they are seeking connection. They're lonely. They're suffering mental health difficulties. They're traumatized. And they're seeking meaning from life. And to go on and criminalize people on top of that, I think, is just adding more shame to individuals, making them feel more guilty. And frankly, you know, it doesn't work in my view. So I think, you know, taking a health-led approach to the treatment of people who use drugs and who also run into addiction difficulties with drugs is a very important strategy. And I include people who use drugs there. Sometimes the argument is, well, they're not addicted, they're just using. But again, I feel people are using drugs. I've outlined already the stories and the testimonies that were told supports that people are suffering in this way. And frankly, the approach we've taken to date clearly doesn't work. So to me, I'm quite clear on the decriminalization. That piece for me sits well, and I think it's something that we can implement in Ireland without difficulty. The legalization piece, I think Germany's approach is interesting. Yes, with guardrails on, basically, legalization. It's okay to, in my view, to go down the road of legalization as long as the regulation is done properly. The whole idea you do this is to reduce harm, to reduce overdoses and infectious diseases. But I think if it's not done properly, you'll see the opposite.
Coming up, Irish Times journalist Fiacra Gallagher discusses criminal cases before the Irish courts where cannabis-induced psychosis played a part.
This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, creating a more friction-free office. Made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
Fiacra, in November 2021, a man called Diego Costa Silva killed his wife, Fabiola Camara de Campos, in their home in Finglas. He was charged with murder and he was sent forward for trial at the Central Criminal Court earlier this year. Can you tell us what the court heard about Costa Silva's state of mind at the time of murder?
Diego Costa Silva was in a state of cannabis-induced psychosis. Mr. Costa Silva held delusional and paranoid beliefs about his wife at the time of the murder.
The murder itself was quite shocking.
It was gruesome, to say the least. Mr. Costa Silva attacked his wife in their home. He first struck her on the head with a mug, strangled her and stabbed her before then proceeding to cut her head off. So it was quite gruesome.
And was Costa Silva a heavy cannabis user?
The trial also heard evidence that Mr. Costa Silva had began smoking cannabis at the age of 16. And then from the age of about 20, he'd been a daily cannabis user. So quite a heavy smoker, chronic smoker.
Fiacra, what did the court hear about Costa Silva's state of mind as a result of his cannabis use?
So as a result of his cannabis use, Mr. Costa Silva had developed a psychotic disorder. He was psychotic at the time of the killing. This disorder caused Mr. Costa Silva to develop several delusional and paranoid beliefs. And these beliefs essentially drove him to killing his wife. He told Gary Vee in interviews after the killing that he believed his wife was possessed by a serpent. And the reasoning for decapitating his wife was actually due to this. He believed he had to cut her head off to kill the serpent that had possessed her.
Now, the trial heard evidence from two psychiatrists that Costa Silva was suffering from cannabis-induced psychosis and that he didn't know what he was doing was wrong. Did the jury agree, ultimately?
The jury did agree. So both barristers for the defence and the prosecution actually told the jury that Mr. Costa Silva was not legally responsible for his actions, and he qualified for a special verdict of not guilty by reason of insanity. And that ultimately is the verdict that the jury went with.
Now, cannabis usage in the context this time of mental health also featured in the trial of a woman called Christina Anderson last year. Can you tell me about that case?
Christina Anderson, she went on trial last year. She was charged with the murder of a man, Gareth Kelly, someone she had never met before the day of the killing. What happened on the day in question, Miss Anderson attacked Mr. Kelly outside her home while he was trying to start his car. She stabbed him a total of 5 times and the injuries proved to be fatal. The Director of Public Prosecutions eventually accepted a plea from Miss Anderson, guilty to manslaughter by reason of diminished responsibility due to her mental disorder.
So her cannabis intoxication was not actually part of the case then, finally?
Finally, it wasn't. It had come up in the trial. The jury had heard that a key issue was whether Miss Anderson's actions during the offending, whether they were driven by a mental disorder or by cannabis intoxication. But in the end, the state actually accepted that cannabis intoxication did not feature in her offending.
In another case, a man called Richard Burke was found not guilty of murdering a woman called Jasmine McMonagall, but guilty of her manslaughter early last year. The court heard that his responsibility for the killing was substantially diminished. How so?
Yeah, Richard Burke, he was the on-again, off-again partner of Jasmine McMonagall. His trial heard that he was suffering from a mental disorder, and at the time of the killing, he was acutely psychotic, and that this mental disorder that he suffered from may have been triggered or in fact exacerbated by his drug use.
And what did we hear about his drug use?
He was addicted to several kinds of drugs. He'd been addicted to drugs since dropping out of college. He had attended Letterkenny IT for a time. He'd been homeless for periods of his life. And one of the drugs that he became addicted to at this time was cannabis.
That's it for today. For more reporting on issues relating to health as well as crime, subscribe at irishtimes.com/subscribe. I'm Bernice Harrison. This episode is produced by John Casey and Suzanne Brennan. In the news, we'll be back on Monday.